hand if you brought your sword with you. It's always good to have your sword with you. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Galatians. If you do not have your sword with you, you're always free to use the one that is before you in the rack there in front. We're turning to the letter of Paul to the Galatians, and we're going to turn to chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is the word of the Lord. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. If that isn't sufficient, we continue with verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Now this Sunday morning, we're going to begin the first of three messages, which will take us through the consideration of the subject, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, I brought this message to this congregation. I'm sure this year it'll have variations and differences of scripture and applications. But it seemed that on a year when we are focusing throughout this 2023 year on the Holy Spirit, that we would not want this year to escape without at least bringing before the congregation the message on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, to correct what is often misspoken, this subject is not entitled The Fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I've heard ministers and Bible teachers and Christian people talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is not plural. It is singular. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a package arrangement that the Holy Spirit brings to the people of God. And if you wish for an example, you think of a flower like a daisy or a chrysanthemum. One single flower has many, many, many variations, leaves, and extensions. It is so with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There is one fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it has various manifestations. And what we'll be doing during these 3 weeks is seeking a better understanding of what these nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit are all about. Now, before you today is a chart, and I don't know if any of you were close enough to look at it and decided you couldn't understand any of the words that were up there. So let me explain to you that this chart on the fruit of the Holy Spirit was created many years ago when we did this message originally by Mary Lou Sick, who's a beautiful artist. She's just a marvelous artist, retired now, of course. Her husband, Bill, has gone home already to be with the Lord. And I asked her to create this particular chart so that each of these expressions of the fruit of the Holy Spirit would be cast in the original Koine Greek word that the Bible uses in its original writing. However, if you got stuck, you could turn the chart over, and she chose to put on this side the English translations of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But my concern is that you have at your disposal the exact words of Scripture. And I've said this to the congregation numerous times over the years. With so many contemporary translations of the English Bible, various translators use different words for the same original Greek word. And oftentimes, they aren't even close to what the original word actually means. So I want you to know that you heard at least once in your life, maybe twice now, what those actual words are that the Holy Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul, who wrote them in the fifth chapter of the letter to the Galatians. And so this Sunday, we're going to, briefly, but we're going to look at three of them. We're going to look at love, joy, and peace. But I'm going to give them to you in their original language. Now, the first of these, of course, is love. And the original Greek word that is used here is the word agape. English spelling of it would be A-G-A-P-E-I, agape. That's not the Greek letters, but that would be an English equivalency. And the reason that we want to have that specific word is because in the English language, the word love is used to cover a multitude of different subjects and means and expressions. For example, several weeks ago when our son Jonathan and his friend Jennifer were here, they recognized the struggle that Miss Judith was having getting out of her chair. Well, she didn't get out of her chair. I had to pull her out of her chair each time. And so they absolutely insisted on going to the furniture store and buying her an electric lift chair. I can only tell you it has changed her life. It has changed her spirit. And it's such an amazing, amazing gift. Now, I've heard her say at least 5, 6, 7 times since then, "I love my new chair." Well, she does, and rightly so. But that is not agape. That is not the manifestation of love that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Agape almost is impossible to put it into English language. It is a reference to the eternal, unfailing, never ceasing love of Almighty God the Father. Ceaseless, eternal, unending, undeserved love that comes to us from God the Father. And I have a scripture that I'd like for you to look up with me today, and it is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Now, it's a struggle when you go through scripture and you're wanting to share with people a specific idea, thought, principle. There are so many, 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 many scriptures that we could use. It's painful to have to select one, but we have other things that we have to do today. So I want you to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 35. John chapter 13, verse 35. This is what it says. Well, let's start with verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And the example for that love is, as I have loved you. So as Father God has loved us, so we are to love one another. And then verse 35. Because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So what does Satan want to destroy? He wants to destroy the expression of agape love one to another and replace it with confrontation, disagreement, argumentation, investigation, and on and on and on and on. That is why Jesus said to his disciples and to us, if you want individuals to know for certain that you are a Christian, in other words, that you are my disciple, that you are my follower, this is how they will know. They will know it by the fact that you love and you love one another as God loved you. Now this brings me to a point that I did not make the last time I shared this series of messages with those of you who were here at that time. Oftentimes people will ask the question, well, how do I know? How do I know what progress I'm making in the Christian life? How can I evaluate my own following of Jesus? How can I understand accurately my own devotion and service to the Lord Jesus? And so this year, I want to express to you, that is why the Holy Spirit has given us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you come upon an apple tree and you pluck off one, thank you, Paul, for all those beautiful apples, by the way. If you pluck one of those apples, you will not turn around and say, isn't this a beautiful orange? Well, I've never seen a peach like this. Who could raise pears? It would be this, no. An apple is an apple is an apple is an apple. Therefore, the absolute undeniable evidence that you and I belong to Jesus is that others can see in you and in me the fruit of the Holy Spirit as it is growing. Now, it's a bit of a frustration that fruit takes a while to grow to harvest. You don't go out the first week that the buds are there and pick an apple or an orange. You wait and you wait and you nurture and you feed, you water. You do all you can to care for that tree so that in the proper time you can harvest the fruit. Now, we're in the season of harvest, literally. That's why we're having a harvest brunch today. But we are, many of us, living in the harvest of our lives. We're living in the harvest of our lives. Less years are before us than are behind us. And if ever there was a time to consider, look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, people, this is the time. So let's ask ourselves, how goes the agape love of Father God in my life for others and for the Lord? It isn't just, he didn't say just to love God. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, If you love one another. If you love one another. Let's go to the second expression of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Boy, this is one of my favorites. This is absolutely one of my favorites. The actual Greek word is chara. And you have to kind of clear your throat when you start out. Chara. It looks like an X in the Greek writing, but it's a letter is chi. And it's chi alpha rho alpha. But the word is pronounced chara. And it is the word for the joy of the Lord. And the Bible is so clear about this important gift of joy. And so I want you to turn with me now to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. The Old Testament book of Nehemiah. He's back there after Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and First and Second Kings and all those guys. Probably don't turn to this book too often, but it's a crucial book. By the way, this is how the homeless shelter, the Nehemiah Project, got its name. It got its name from Nehemiah. And Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, it is written, "This too is the word of the Lord. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet." Kind of interesting. We read this on a day we're having a harvest brunch. "Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared." Before I came upstairs today, I heard people down below talking about who they're going to send food to. Isn't that amazing? I bet the people who said that this morning didn't know this was going to be written in Scripture and read today. So, "Send unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, did you ever feel like you could use a little more energy, a little more strength for your daily life? I do every day. That is why I began a couple of years ago, every single day, morning and evening, that is a part of the ritual of my prayers, I pray for Miss Judith and myself, that Father God, you will cause the joy of the Holy Spirit to rise up within us into every atom and molecule of our spirit, soul, and body, that we may be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now that is a strange, I think, in some ways, principle to grasp. How is it that your strength and my strength is tied to something like joy? Well, because first of all, the Word of God says so. And it is the joy of the Lord, which is a example, if you will, evidence of His presence in our lives. If we are expressing the joy of the Lord, it is because the joy of the Lord has come to be within us and upon us. And that is the source of true joy. I recall reading, I've read it many times, the powerful biography of St. Francis of Assisi. That's perhaps, other than the Lord Jesus, my favorite Christian who's ever lived. And he and a couple of his brothers were walking in very, very nasty wintry weather. And the storm was getting stronger, and they were out in the darkness of the night, and they came upon a monastery. Now, you recall, Brother Francis and his team were always dressed in somewhat ragged clothing, burlap with a chalk cross drawn across the center and a rope around their waist as a cincture. So they weren't very attractive. Always, they walked barefoot. So they came to this monastery, and they knocked on the door, and one of the monks came and opened the door and saw these wretched creatures standing there and slammed the door in their face. So once again, Brother Francis knocked on the door, and another person inside came and answered the door and said, what do you creatures want? They said, we request a night of rest and some food. And again, the door was slammed in their face. The third time, the superior of this monastery came, and when he heard the request and saw the wretchedness of their condition, he took a stick and began to beat them and threw them in the snow. Brother Francis turned to his two companions, and he said, brothers, this is the source of true joy, the joy of knowing that the Lord is with us. True joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So how strong are you? And if you don't feel any stronger than I do many times, each day I have made it a point to pray for energy and strength, but most of all, that for that day, the joy of the Lord would become my strength, the joy of the Holy Spirit. So what is the source of that joy? Well, the world offers you and talks about happiness. That is a poor counterfeit for joy. I hear it on TV at various times. People say, oh, all I want is you to be happy. I just want you to be. That's the worst expression I think you can give to anybody, because what makes you happy today may make you very unhappy a month from now. It's an up and down, elusive kind of thing. The Lord doesn't ever ask us to pray for happiness. He asks us to pray for true joy, which cannot be taken from us. Jesus said, my joy I give to you, cannot be taken away. And so we pray that the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the source, the only source of true joy, that the Holy Spirit would bring to us true joy, and He would be our strength and our joy. Now we come to the third word, and this is another beautiful word. This is the word peace. And the actual word, the actual Greek word here for peace is eirene. Now let me spell it with English letters for you. E-I-R-E-I-N-E-I. Eirene. Those aren't the Greek letters, but that's what you can write down. Now, What does the Bible have to say about eirene? Well, let's we're there in the Gospel of John. Let's turn to John chapter 14 and I'll share a scripture there with you. Eirene, the peace of the Lord Jesus. So the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so this peace, eirene, that the Lord wants us to receive, it's not world peace. It's not a matter of popular, comfortable tranquility. It's not the absence of conflict. It's truly, truly, truly an amazing expression of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we often substitute for this peace, this gift that Father God gives to each and every one who call upon His name and who trust in Him, the gift of peace. What this actually translates to for us in our culture today is that we settle for accommodation. We settle for just getting along. We settle for acquiescence, the lack of maybe argumentation or conflict. That is nothing at all like the peace of God. Now, one final scripture today, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. This is a little clearer, maybe, picture of Irene. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So this peace that Jesus spoke about, He said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives." This peace that the Bible is speaking about is not simply an accommodation to acquiesce to whatever kind of situation is going on, or just getting along if at any cost. The Bible presents the peace of Almighty God as an awesome power. It is a power that is able to keep your hearts and minds, to keep them steadfast, to keep them strong, to keep them courageous. And the actual Greek word there for keep is a military expression. What it literally means is to stand guard. That the peace of God may stand guard at your heart. Why this military expression? Because, first of all, you cannot understand this. You absolutely cannot process with your mind the depth of the meaning of the peace of God. Because it is so powerful that the Lord places it there to stand guard against the alien intruders that would come and steal and rob your peace. We're not going to look this up, but the book of Isaiah says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. So keeping our focus upon the Word of God, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, which passes understanding, it shall stand guard at your heart, which is the source of so much of the upheaval that people face in these days. Now, we've only looked this morning at three of the expressions of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I would ask, is there anyone here who would say, I don't want any more agape. I don't want any more love. I don't want any more joy. And I have enough peace. I don't think so. Therefore, I believe that as I have prayed all week, that the Holy Spirit will take these messages and rivet and implant in your spirit not just the desire for the fruit of the Spirit to give expression through your life, but you will cling to it and celebrate this precious gift of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we're confronted today by some absolute principles and truths of Scripture. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is not available on the internet. It's not available on social media. It really isn't available in the Bible. We can read about it. We can learn about it. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is available only through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, today, if there's anyone within the hearing of my voice who has never received Jesus as their personal Savior, or who has never prayed to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on their lives, Lord, let this be the day. Let this day that we celebrate harvest brunch through the Holy Spirit, let this day when there's a harvest of souls within this congregation and within those who hear this message by the recorded word. We trust you, O Lord, to work these miracles in the lives of your people. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forever. Amen.